and welcome to Minute 83 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me again today is Travis Bowe of Real Comic Heroes Podcast. Welcome back to the show, Travis.
Hello there. Thank you.
So hopefully you're ready for a minute of silence, where we're just going to hear music in the background. You know, music in your head. How's that?
Yeah. Sounds good.
So, minute 83 begins with Del looking sad on the platform and ends with Neil laughing. So, this is actually the first episode in, or the first minute in this entire movie where there is no dialogue whatsoever. There's nothing. We came close when he was storming across the runway.
Yeah.
There was just a few lines there, but this one is, there's nothing. It's complete silence. And basically the way that we ended things yesterday, Neil got on the train, it pulled away, and Del was a little sad. And today we get to see, we start off with a shot of Del, who looks even sadder as that train continues to chug along. You know, they show us a great shot of his face where he really looks like he's on the verge of crying. You know, he genuinely now misses his friend, even though he just saw him a minute ago. Or actually, we now know this less than a minute. He saw his friend 20 seconds ago or whatever it is. You know, and then they move to a shot of Neil on the train, who looks like he's very deep in thought. You know, and then he starts running his hands back and forth and moving his hands back and forth. Then he's moving his head back and forth, you know, looking in both directions. You know, he starts smiling. And then we start getting a little bit of music, you know, which, you know, we all wish we had background music in life. You know, you're sitting on the train that's completely deserted, and you get, a little bit of 80s music in the background.
Yeah.
You know, so it works well, the way that they play this music here. You know, it adds to the emotion.
Yeah, I think when he is moving his head around side to side and looks like he's trying to kind of stretch his neck muscles out a little bit, it feels to me, and especially because it's coming right after him parting ways with Del, it's almost like he's going through the symptoms of regret, and he's just trying to move his body in any way to just kind of distract himself. Like, I think I've done this. If I'm in regret and I'm not comfortable, it's, you know, just if I'm trying to articulate what I'm, you know, I've been in situations, or I've had moments like this. If there is something where you maybe didn't handle the situation the best way, or you're leaving something that you should have stuck around. I've kind of done this where you're by yourself, you get in the car, and you're just kind of uncomfortable.
Maybe I should have done something else. Maybe I should have done things.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And then you probably have your own background music for that. You know?
Yeah.
And then we get a shot of Del gathering up his luggage again, and you see him like pulling his trunk. It always makes me wonder the fact that why is he traveling around with this trunk if it's so difficult for him to lug it around everywhere?
Yeah.
You know, just that doesn't make sense to me. And then it quickly goes back to Neil. You know, he tries to look at his watch and then realizes he doesn't have a watch. And then he like smiles to himself. He smirks first, and then he smiles to himself about the whole thing. And then we get to see, I guess you can call them fantasy shots. Right. You know, we see him first. He gets to see his daughter Marty. You know, she's dressed up, ready for Thanksgiving dinner. And then we get a shot of his son Neil Jr., who's, you know, smiling at him and standing by the stairs and stuff like that. And then we get a shot of his young son, Seth, also smiling at the table. You know, he's got like these fake Lego blocks, you know, stacked up there next to him. And then we get to see Neil again And it seems as if he's like smiling back at them. You know, he's dreaming about them and he's dreaming of their smiles and he's saying, wow, this is going to be great when I get home in a little while and everyone's going to be there and they're going to smile at me and I'm going to smile back at them. We're going to have so much fun. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we see a shot of hands firmly or taking a freshly baked cherry pie out of the oven. And then we see a large turkey that is being like brushed and with basted and it's like glistening. You know, he's basically has his mouth starts watering, I guess, by thinking of this. You know, he's left all this stuff for his wife to take care of, you know, but she's gonna do the best job possible. You know, and you see that like this turkey has stuffing is overflowing out of it. There's like so I wonder if they used a real turkey for that shot or was it just a fake turkey to make it look as tasty as possible.
Yeah, it looks too perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's really funny. This is our 83rd minute doing this, and I've never really talked about Thanksgiving. You know, so this is
Yeah.
actually the perfect shot to talk about Thanksgiving a little bit. So what do you know about the origin of Thanksgiving?
You know, I it's what you're taught in school. It's like the Pilgrims and Indians sat down for a meal, came together, and this celebration that I don't know how much that's true, you know. So, yeah, I
Right.
guess
So
I've never
yeah.
really, aside from grade school, I've never really looked into Thanksgiving and what it's the history of it, I guess.
Right, exactly. Okay, so the same thing with me. I mean, I you know learned all about the Pilgrims and that's why Addams Family Values is amazing when they show you know the little play as to what
Oh.
really happened at the first Thanksgiving. You know, they do a great job there with the way they do that. But so basically according to what I found out, the research that I did, the real story is that you know for the Harvest Festival, they actually had a big meal, you know, between the Pilgrims and the Indians when they basically had a large meal together in order to welcome one another, and then they were basically the Pilgrims were introduced to all these new kind of food, these new kinds of food in America. You know, for
Right.
instance, turkey. Turkey was indigenous to America. You know, people in Europe, they obviously knew about chicken, but they didn't know about turkey beforehand. So, you know, like in for Thanksgiving, so people usually eat turkey, potatoes, stuffing, squash, corn, green beans, cranberries, so usually cranberry sauce, and pumpkin pie. Those are the main things that people usually will eat at Thanksgiving. So it's now a federal holiday, but it wasn't always that way. In 1789, when George Washington was president, he actually requested of Congress that they have this little holiday known as Thanksgiving. Okay, and over the 233 years since then, it has been on and off. It wasn't always celebrated as a holiday. So Washington, you know, celebrated it. When Jefferson became president, he chose not to observe it. And most presidents up until Lincoln did not celebrate Thanksgiving. Lincoln was the first one in 1863. He proclaimed it a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. So it's not even connected to the harvest or
Yeah.
anything like that. He's making it more of a religious type of holiday,
Right. And
type of thing.
did the date float around? Was it
Yes.
always meant to
Yes.
be?
Well, it was always November. Okay.
Okay.
Lincoln declared it that it will be the last Thursday in November.
Hmm.
Okay. Then in 1870, when Grant was president, he signed it into law. They had the Holidays Act, and it made Thanksgiving a yearly appointed federal holiday only in Washington, D.C. Okay. In 1885, Congress then made Thanksgiving and other federal holidays a paid holiday for all federal workers in the U.S. And then when Franklin Roosevelt became president, so he actually changed it to one week earlier. And in between 1939 and 1941, and there was a lot of controversy because people still wanted to have it, you know, later on.
Sure.
So they actually, in 1942, Congress made an act that was a law that was signed by FDR that it would be the permanent day for Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday in November. And it, that it no longer is something that the president has as his own discretion to decide whether we will be celebrating it or not. Okay. So just a few other little tidbits about Thanksgiving, which I found very fascinating, that Americans apparently eat more food on Thanksgiving than on any other day of the year because of the large amount of food that people have at their Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
You know, any other type of days, this is the one you're going to have a thing. And studies show that if you have participants that have different political leanings, that those Thanksgiving dinners tend to be shorter than others, which, yeah, which I don't think you need a scientific study of that. I think that's pretty much a given,
yeah,
for that type of thing. So do you know what days it can fall out on?
What's that?
What are the dates that Thanksgiving can fall out on?
I know I always tend to think of Thanksgiving as being like on the 26th. I don't know why. I think that is also my grandmother's birthday. And so there were a few years where they both happened on the same day. So that's just where my mind tends to cement it in, though I know that it floats around.
Right. So the truth is it can fall between November 22nd and the 28th. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's not only the fourth Thursday in November, it is also it is the Thursday preceding the last Saturday of November, which is why it cannot fall out on the 29th or on the 30th. Okay. And if it falls out on the 22nd or the 23rd, then it's actually not the last Thursday in November, but it's the
fourth,
penultimate,
right,
Thursday in November. So yeah, found that to be a little interesting.
Yeah,
to finally talk about Thanksgiving after 83 episodes.
What's your favorite food on Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
Yeah.
I'm a turkey man.
Okay. I like stuffing. I love a green bean casserole. I love we do a lot of roasted Brussels sprouts for Thanksgiving. So
you're a veggie man.
I mean, typically no. I love I don't love turkey as a meat. And usually the only other meat you get with Thanksgiving is ham, which is also fine, but it's ham. You know.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
But yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I've
had... you could say Jews don't eat, well, sure. Jews like me don't eat ham. So,
right.
But if it's tasty for you, then that's fine by me.
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. And turkey, I mean, it's also fine, you know.
Right. No, the problem that most people have with turkey is that sometimes it can be a little dry.
Yeah.
So that's why you have to have it. That's what ketchup's for.
On turkey?
on everything.
Yikes. Yeah, we started.
I put ketchup on any type of meat. I don't okay. mind. Yeah,
fair enough.
On French fries, on potatoes, and you know, those type of things. You don't have to be in a fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
For me, ketchup is a staple. How's that? And then we continue with this montage of other festive shots. We get to see a candle being lit. And they do really, it's really cool the way that they shot the candle, the flame expanding. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like it's in slow motion, but it's not in slow motion. You know, the way that it just like grows real quickly like that. And then we get another shot of Neil smiling and smirking to himself along the way, which is pretty funny because like when I'm reminiscing about things, I don't think I'm like smiling if I'm in public like that. I wouldn't think I am.
I wondered about that.
I don't think I am. And then we get a shot of Neil's wife, Susan, sitting at the table, you know, dressed in her, I guess, Thursday best. And And then we get a shot of Neil at the table looking over at her. And what's interesting is when you see Neil looking at her, did you notice that behind Neil on the counter is actually the turkey? It's not on the table.
Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe they're saying grace or something like that. I don't know. You know.
Well, we've definitely had Thanksgiving dinners where some of the food just stays on another counter, on another table.
Yeah, but
it's not
cut yet.
There's not always
they haven't begun carving it yet.
Right. Yeah, I guess that is interesting that they're seated and like this. Yeah. But.
And we see then Neil is in this striped button-down shirt. You know. And then once again, we get another shot of Neil smiling. I think you could probably say that this minute is Neil smiling to himself. You know, there's a lot of shots of Neil smiling to himself. and then he starts reminiscing about things with Dell. So we get a shot of, you know, back from the first motel where Dell is kissing Neil's ear. So, I mean, first of all, I think it's funny that he's reminiscing about something not from his own perspective.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that of all the other shots that we just saw, you know, he's looking at his loved ones. You know, it's all from his perspective, except for him. You know, the shot of him where his wife is looking at him. But up until this point, it's just his perspective. And then now we get his I guess, memories from in a third person.
Yeah. Did they use the exact same shot?
It looks to me like the exact same shot. I checked it
for some reason. Like
you thought it's different,
like only because it feels like a brighter scene this time around, and I don't remember the like two kisses on the ear.
Yeah, there were definitely two kisses on the ear.
Okay. Okay. Then it's probably just my memory.
That's what I recall at least. You know. And then we see another shot of Neil laughing out loud. I guess thankfully again no one is on the train with him. And then he puts his hand to his face, you know, as he's laughing and stuff like that. And then once again we get another shot of Dell and Neil laughing about the burning car. So once again a third person shot from outside, not from Neil's perspective of what's going on. And then once again, we're back to Neil laughing again. And this time he's laughing it looks like he's laughing even louder than before. And that's pretty much how this minute ends. We just get a shot of him, you know, laughing the whole time, which it's fun to see. It's interesting. So do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
Yeah, one of the things I noticed, and I'm curious if the script goes into any of this throughout the movie, or if there are, you know, 2 hours of unused footage, if there was more to Neil and his wife's relationship.
There is a lot more.
Because the shot of her, and throughout this movie, she seems so sad and so melancholy, and I get that, like, she's concerned that her husband isn't going to make it home for the holiday. But I see this, and this is like his fantasy, his like projection of what's waiting for him at home. And his like ultimate fantasy here, his wife doesn't even seem that happy. I mean, I see her face and she seems so, like I said, it's so sad, and it just throughout the movie, I feel like there is a lot of weight riding on him getting home to this holiday. Like if he doesn't make it home, I feel like maybe their relationship is doomed.
Wow,
you know, that's
amazing insight.
Just
amazing insight.
Just seeing her character, you know, I don't know the actress from anything. I think she plays it well. I just feel like there's a lot going on in the background there that we don't get here. And yeah, maybe I'm reading.
No, not at all. That's my point. That's why this is amazing. So Travis, in the original script, there is an entire subplot that is cut out where the two of them are in a fight the entire time.
Okay.
Every time that he talks to her on the phone, she's ends up yelling at him, misunderstands everything, and ends up hanging up the phone on him. She thinks he's having an affair with someone and that he's just lying about meeting this guy named Dell. So, and she at one point says that, you know, he's going to come home for Thanksgiving and then Friday morning I'm grabbing the kids and I'm out of here.
Wow. You know,
it reached that point where she really doesn't believe him and stuff like that, which, which I'm very glad that they cut this out because I think it would have been just too much. You know, but it's interesting that you're able to pick up on that because they she's very sparsely used in the movie, partially, I guess, because most of the scenes she's angry in them. And these scenes that they show her in, she's not angry, but she's not happy either.
Yeah. Okay. No, that I feel justified in my in the way I read the scenes with her and this moment for sure.
You definitely read that one perfectly. Good job, Travis. There you go.
I also noted the music in this minute feels very Phil Collins.
Yes.
Like it just in the sound, just the sound quality that, or not quality, but just feels like it's going to be, you know, a Phil Collins song.
You've never heard the song before?
So, I may have. I'm not sure what song it is.
It's Every Time You Go Away. It's
it didn't.
It's by Daryl Hall. So
okay,
you know,
it didn't. I didn't recognize it on its own.
Right. Well, because here we just get the instrumental. You know, the music, the words haven't begun yet. So, yeah. So one of the things that we discuss every day is the differences and discrepancies in the original script and what we get to see on screen and. The truth is, this doesn't appear at all in the script. It's not here. They changed the ending of the movie, which I won't let people in on that right now. It'll have to hold out another 10 days to hear the various changes that they made. But once they decided to make this new ending, so John Hughes and the editor, Paul Hirsch, decided to make this montage. The montage wasn't originally there, and they took it from different shots that they had filmed because in the original ending, there really is a Thanksgiving dinner. So they cut some of those shots of the family from there. And apparently they found footage of Steve Martin when they were in between takes, and he was making these faces and laughing and smiling and stuff like that. And they were able to intercut that in.
Wow. Yes.
They basically what I found is that Martin is only daydreaming or thinking about his lines in the next scene. But Hughes remarked that Martin had a beautiful expression in those unguarded moments. So that's really amazing that they were able to take it. Now, even if he's thinking about, you know, I don't know if I'm thinking if I'm not an actor, I'll never be an actor, but. If I'm at work or whatever, and I'm thinking about something, I'm not going to be sitting there and laughing out loud.
Yeah, or touching my face as like an all
exactly.
Shucks.
So I think
that was a silly moment.
I have a feeling that it's a combination. I don't think it's completely just, you know, found footage, I guess you can say.
It could be inspired by real moments, and they were like, hey, we noticed you doing this. Now let's shoot that for real.
That could be.
So it could be something like that.
That definitely could be. All right. So every Wednesday, we do a segment called Hughes Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five John Hughes films. So what have you got for us today, Travis?
And these are directed
whatever
by?
Whatever you want.
Okay.
I leave that up to you because there aren't that many directed by.
Right. Yeah, I managed to eke out a top five directed by out of his eight that he directed, but I also wrote down a list of, you know, my top five, you know, written by, produced by, directed by, what have you. So that list is as follows. Number five, I have Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Number four, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Number three is Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Number two is Home Alone. And number one is The Breakfast Club.
All right. Excellent. Thank you very much for that. So every year we have another segment, which we do, called Off the Beaten Track, where either myself or my guest will give a story about an adventure or misadventure that, that one of us have had throughout the course, the journey of life. So, Chavez, you got another one for us?
I do. I have one more.
Well, maybe by the end of the week, you'll think of another one.
Maybe. So this goes back to Monday, August 26th, 1985, and I was 2 years old, and I was involved in a train accident.
Ooh.
So there was – the train was an Amtrak train going from Chicago to New York, so kind of a reverse of this movie's journey, but – there was a steel truck. It was in Ohio, in Mansfield, Ohio. There was a steel truck that was stalled on the track, and the train just slammed into it. It apparently derailed the train, but it didn't. No cars flipped or rolled over. It just, I guess, technically derailed. 52 people were injured, apparently, and the one passenger of note was Pearl Bailey, and she was a jazz singer.
Travis Bowe.
Yeah. And future podcaster, Travis Bowe. She was a jazz singer. She appeared in some movies. I think one of her big.
I've heard that name.
Yeah, she did St. Louis Blues. And I know her mostly as the voice of the owl, Big Mama, from The Fox and the Hound. She voiced that character. But apparently, she was, on the train, her and her husband, and she was helping passengers. Like, at one point, I read that she got on the like a loudspeaker and was just trying to calm people down. I read that she at one point was helping, like physically helping people, you know, get off the train. And like the way I always was told this story from my parents, it was just me, my mom, and my sister. My sister is 4 years older. And so my mom was getting her kind of off the train, and she needed help. And I've always been told that Pearl Bailey carried me off the train or helped get me off the train, you know? So I don't know. And this is a story that I haven't really asked my parents about this since I was probably a young teenager. So, you know, my details of it are very fuzzy in what I know, just because I only know what I was told. And, you know, haven't really looked into it much, but you can find some articles about it. If you just search Amtrak and Pearl Bailey, you'll find a couple of like old newspaper articles about it. So, but yeah, I don't know how many of your guests have a train wreck story, but there's one.
No. Okay. Well, I always knew you were unique, Travis. And you're continuing with that. That's great. All right. Do you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
You can find me on Instagram at Tebow Baggins.
Okay. Great.
That's it.
And all right. Short and sweet.
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe to any podcatcher you might be using to listen to this show. You can find me very simply just by doing a quick search for a Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Facebook, or you can go to our website. So until tomorrow, you're fine.
You're fine.